If you're joining us for the first time and wondering who this crazy bald guy is, well, listen, I'm Pastor Lynn, and I want to welcome you. We love you. It only gets more intense from here. And so get ready. Amen. If you're watching online, I want us to do a special welcome for all of those that are watching online, both here and around the world. Thank you for our online audience and everybody that is watching this, because I believe that the presence of God is moving in such a powerful way. Let me give you some instruction today. I'm all about participation and interaction. Amen. So don't just sit back and get comfortable. You got to get in it with me. All right? It's okay to make noise, say amen, high five somebody, get up on your feet, try not to yell in your neighbor's ear or scare children, but if it is glorifying to God, you can do it. Amen? And don't just hear the word today, respond to it. You got to respond to it. There are miracles, healings, open doors of opportunity in responding to God's word. So I'm excited about what God's doing in this season and what he's saying in this word. And this word is the thing that is going to change your life. And I was in the back anticipating. I was excited. I was pushing to get up here today because I know what this word is about to do for you today. It is a season of release. I want you to shout it again. Shout release. Release. No, say it like you believe it. Say release. Come on, say it from down deep. Say it, release. Release. We're going to walk in release. And when God gives us a word as a church, we're not just here to play along like, okay, thank you, Jesus, for that nice word. No, we take this thing to heart. We got to take it to heart. We got to use it, pray it. The problem in the church is they hear good words, but they're hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And James says, when you hear the word and you don't do the word, you're self-deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I want to be blessed. Amen. You got to speak it, believe it, write it on stuff, post about it, message to people. Why? Because we have to remind ourselves of the word of God. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, how did he respond to Satan? It is written. You have to know the word of God. Remind yourself of the word of God. Remind God of the word of God. And more than anything else, remind the devil of the word of God. Amen. When you feel bound, you need to remember the word of the Lord. You have to say, devil, I'm released from this thing. Amen. Don't get all depressed. Declare God's word. When you start feeling rotten and broken, listen, you got to say, no, devil, I am released from every attack, from every word, from every thought. You got to have some authority. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ today? Do you know who Jesus is in you? I want you to turn in your Bibles today. Y'all better help me today. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to go down to verse 6, and this is the verse I want to open with today, and then we're going to jump into this word that I believe God has sent me to release to you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read it again. Be confident of this very thing. What thing? That the God who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Say, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now listen. So this is what God told me today. He told me, and you got to go back to last week's message for a moment. God said, I'm going to release you from things, and I'm going to release you into things. Come on, just close your eyes with me for a moment. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that your word is life. Lord, it says that your words are life to those who find them and medicine to our flesh. And Lord, I thank you today that we're drawing from the life and the medicine of heaven for our hearts, our situation, our family, God, our everything. Lord, that we're looking to you to be released from those things that are behind us, released from those things that have us in bondage, released from those things that attack us, released from those things that discourage us, and released into something that we have never imagine that you've already prepared for us today. And we thank you for this. Let the implanted word enter our hearts that it might save our souls according to scripture. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God says he's going to release you from the place of bondage and from the perspective of bondage. How many remember that from last week? Because you can get out of Egypt, but how many know Egypt can still be in you? So you have to get free from the place and from the mindset, right? And then God said he's also going to release us into the promise of the blessing that he has prepared for us. This is what God is going to do in this season for everyone that has faith to believe it. For everyone. So today God told me you have one job, and the main objective of this job is to show you the connection between reveal and release. And so I'm titling today's message, and my assignment from God for you, I'm calling The Big Reveal. How many people have an iPhone right now? How many people have an iPhone? Lift your hands. Okay, you all are going to heaven. God bless you. God bless you. All the Android people are shaking their head. False doctrine. Just hang with me. Who here had the first generation iPhone? The very first generation iPhone. There's a few hands up there. Y'all are nerds, but God bless you. It's okay. Listen, there was a presentation given by Steve Jobs on January the 9th of 2007, where he got up on this stage and said, I'm going to show you the future of phones. Up until then, we had smart-ish phones, but they really weren't that smart. Does anybody remember the Nokia phone? The game? How many ever played Snake on your phone? You know what I'm talking about, Snake? How many had the Razor? You remember that? You were really something if you had the Razor, right? All the Gen Zs, and they were like, what? But listen, when Steve Jobs came and presented us with the iPhone, he was revealing, say revealing, something brand new. So on January 9th, 2007, this new phone was revealed. About a month later, they spent a lot of money. They made this commercial. They released this commercial during the 79th Academy Awards, because they knew a lot of people would be watching, and they revealed this phone to the world. Right? They knew a lot of people would see that. But even though the phone was first revealed in January, it was not until June 29th, over 6 months later, that the new iPhone was released. So it was revealed, but you couldn't go buy one until it was released. I started thinking about this, right? Because you think, when iPhones first came out, people were camped out, right, waiting to get them because they had the vision of what was revealed for them. They had expectation. There was a product that was intriguing that they wanted. But it took time after it was revealed before it was released. And it's the same with what happens in the spirit. Do you hear me? You see, the problem we have today in our spiritual focus is that the moment God reveals something, we want it to be released tomorrow. Amen? You hear that? And we get frustrated. We give God 1 week to change our relationship problem before we give up on it. Fix my family this week. We took 20 years to get it messed up, right? But we want it to be released in 20 minutes. And so what God does is he comes to reveal this vision to you. This is the power of the prophetic. Aren't you glad you're in a prophetic church? A place that hears God and hears God accurately and speaks accurately. The prophetic is the reveal tool of the Spirit. The gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, 5 of those gifts are prophetic in nature. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, and interpretation of tongues are all prophetic in nature. Five over half of those gifts. Why? Because that's the reveal tools of the Spirit. That's how God reveals things to us, right? And so what we have to understand, though, is when God, well, let me say this. When God brings a reveal, he does it to remind us that we're not forsaken. How many have ever received a word from the Lord in some way, be it via another person or another way, that was so accurate and so on time for you in the moment that it just encouraged you on the inside? If that was you, wave your hand if you've had that. All over these places. You know, all of those hands represent miracles. That's God speaking from the realm of heaven into the realm of earth, right? It reminds you that God knows where you are. It reminds you that he hasn't forsaken you. It lets us know that you're going to get through this, and it points you to a future date where God is going to do something. But then once God reveals it, how many know sometimes it takes a lot of patience to wait for the release? Because sometimes the release doesn't come right after the reveal. You know, it's like a woman carrying a baby. We live in an era with today's ultrasound technology. They can look into a womb during the baby's development to see at a certain point whether that baby's going to be a boy or a girl, right? And then we make a party or some type of a gathering. We have what we call a reveal, right? To give the idea or the vision of what this baby is going to be that's coming. And so the reveal is not the release. And how many moms can say amen to that? Because you have the reveal, but tomorrow you're still pregnant, right? And so they can guess at the due date, but how many know just in a normal pregnancy, no one knows the day or the hour, right? The baby comes when the baby's ready, right? So you can kind of guess at the release date. So why do we do the reveal? Because the reveal gives me a vision of what I'm expecting. Everybody say expecting. What do we call a mom who's pregnant? She is expecting, right? There is an expectation, right? So the reveal gives a vision to the expectation. It allows you to see something. It gives you a place, like the Word of God says in one area, to set your hope. You need a place to set your hope, to set your expectation. So God reveals things. He gives you a vision. He shows you things. He speaks through somebody. You get a prophetic word. You have, listen, he does that so you have a place to set your hope. Why? Because God operates through faith. And you connect your faith at the point of the reveal, and then your faith becomes the release valve for the release. And if it's a product or technology and I see a reveal, it allows me to prepare. How much is this going to cost? I can save my money. I can use it. If you get a reveal of something, a product before it comes, I can start to move things, right? I can change things around, get rid of things, so I can make room for what's coming ahead. When you pay attention to the reveals of God to you, even when it's not released, it's because God wants you to prepare to accommodate what he's bringing to you. And sometimes God can't get it to you and the release gets delayed because we haven't moved the stuff that God wants moved to make room for what he's going to bring. That's a whole sermon right there. There's sometimes I travel to places and my wife loves shoes. She loves bags, right? And I might bring her a new bag of some kind, and I've seen her, I've watched her, before I go somewhere or before something happens, or we've talked about, we maybe go somewhere together, I've seen her give stuff away. I've seen her give clothes away, she give bags away, she gives lots of stuff away to people. And let me tell you something, I'm going to tell you a secret about my wife right here in front of her, might get myself in trouble, pray for me. Okay, here's the thing, here's why she does it. She's very generous, but it's not just because she's generous. She's making room for something new. Come on. How many women can say amen to that? I'm making room. I'm going to bless somebody else with this, and it's going to be new for them, but it's making room for something over here that's going to be new for me. It's called expectation. It's called preparing. It's getting the vision, right? I don't have it yet, but I'm making room for it because it's coming. Come on. Imagine if we would learn to live like that spiritually. Release this so we can receive this. Release this. Quit getting so tied to things. Let's just get rid of that. Come on, God. He said, behold, I'll do a new thing. Amen. God wants to bring you into a season of the reveal so he can set your expectation for the new thing. Prophetic vision and prophetic expectation from God. How does it happen? In your worship. It happens in prayer. It happens by fasting. It happens when you pray and fast and set times aside, you're getting rid of stuff on the inside of you to prepare for what God's bringing to you. That's how it works. And it releases so that God can release all of those things to you. Being in the house of God is really important if you're going to set your expectation, because reveals happen in the house of God. You come into this reveal, you see God doing things that are impossible, but then I have to have patience. Faith always has to be sown into patience. I don't have time to do the faith patience teaching today, but if you look at them in the Greek language, patience is a feminine word and faith is a masculine word. And faith has to be sown into patience in order for something fruitful to emerge. It's powerful. So the thing you have to understand, though, is between the reveal and the release, something else goes into operation. People start making counterfeits. And for everybody who couldn't wait on the release, or for everybody who didn't prepare for the release, they didn't prepare for the cost, they settled for buying a replica. You hear me? They get a vision of the real, then somebody presents a counterfeit and it's cheaper and it's more easily available. But the problem is, it's not real. And you might convince somebody else that what you have is real, but you know it isn't. And God knows it isn't. And God began to speak to me and he said, so many people, I have revealed to them their future. And I've revealed to them pieces of what I want to do, because God always reveals things in pieces. I've revealed to them that their family was going to be okay. I revealed to them that they wouldn't stay sick or discouraged or depressed. I revealed to them that they're not broke. They're in preparation for the thing I'm bringing to. I revealed to them, but then they stop believing and expecting because along the way, it's easy to lose hope. And then they let go of faith for the release, and they settle for a counterfeit. Oh, I'm going to, Bob. I am going to preach this thing. Many of us have gone into counterfeit situations, counterfeit relationships. God said you would be married and fulfilled, but you settled for Bobo right after I spoke to you this word, and you're trying to make it happen. God gave you I told you I'm going to preach it. God gave you the reveal, but you didn't want to wait for the release. So you get something less than what God could have brought to you if you would have waited. God told you that you would own the business, so you went out and took it in your own hands and borrowed lots of money, and you didn't know what you were doing yet. But if you would have just waited, God would have raised you up, prepared you, given you a business partner to partner with you. Instead, you settle for the counterfeit, and now you're under lots of pressure, trying to make up and catch up. And thank God, God gives us grace even when we do things that aren't that intelligent. Amen? I'm a good testimony of that. Listen, God said, tell my people this is a season of release. What I said, I will do. So don't get impatient. Don't settle for something less than what God is preparing for you. I get tempted to grab something now, hoping nobody will recognize that it's fake because the real thing hasn't manifested yet. Well, at least I have somebody and I can act like it's the relationship God has for me. I mean, if I really think through it, I could put the pieces together and say, well, I could see how this might have been that person if you just look at it this way. Listen, you don't have to do that. Just be patient. But respond when God releases. Amen? I can act like God wanted me to move to this place, but when then the real release comes and the real is presented, you'll see what you could have had. And listen, I'm not saying this is easy. It's hard because counterfeits are tempting. They can seem so real. So I brought something with me today. I haven't pulled it out in a long time. It's this little medallion on the end of this chain, and I want you to know what this medallion is. If I could show it to you close up, I can't. It's a really cool little piece, right? It's actually, what this is actually an 1883 gold-plated nickel. In 1883, the United States Mint issued a new design for the nickel, and it's called the Liberty Nickel. And it has the Lady Liberty on the front, and on the back, it just has a huge Roman numeral 5. But something they didn't do on this nickel is they didn't do what they do to every other coin. They didn't print the little words 5 cents. So it also became known as the no cents nickel. But the problem with this nickel was it was a nice design. It looked great. But it also looked very similar to the $5 gold piece in 1883. The design was almost the exact same thing. So con artists went nuts, and they started gold plating these nickels and passing them off as gold pieces. It was one of the greatest coin counterfeits in the history of the U.S., and this is one of those counterfeit nickels right here. On the outside, it's gold. But underneath the surface, it's just a nickel. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the U.S. Treasury had to really go and pull these in, and they stamped 5 cents on them. There was a short time that where these were circulated that didn't have that word. It became known, instead of the Liberty Nickel, then it became known as the Racketeer Nickel. Because it wasn't the real thing. Sometimes things look valuable on the outside, but its true value is what you find underneath the surface. Sometimes we put too much attention on the outside, and we don't see the value underneath. We judge people on the outside because we don't take time to look at them underneath. We have to understand this because a counterfeit will always seem more valuable than it really is. Wait for the real. Wait for the real. Come on, everybody, we all have our own things. We all have our own things we're really willing to settle for and accept as something that it really isn't. If you're writing things, you should write this down. The first requirement to get from a reveal to a release is time. Say time. You didn't say that very loud. Some of you felt like you just cussed. That's a four-letter word to you. It always takes time. It is a four-letter word. Listen. Time and sequence are a part of God's process in our life to build value on the inside of us. Come on now, you gave the world 10 years to build up the dysfunction you have in your life, and you give God 10 days to change it. This is where my assignment comes in today, to let you know that there is never a reveal that doesn't have a time stamp to it. There is a time stamp on every reveal that God gives. So if God is revealing, listen, it will happen. If God reveals it, it will happen. If God reveals it, it will happen. If God reveals it, it will happen. But it'll take time. and you'll have to stand. It's going to happen, but you can't stop in the middle of the process. And it's easy because it's easy to get discouraged. I've been there. I've done that. I've given up sometimes. The thing is, you don't know between the reveal and the release what God's trying to do in you. You see, God's not as concerned with the reveal or the release. He's concerned with what's going on inside of you as part of the process. That's what God's most concerned with. So it's important to let God work on you. So don't settle for the counterfeit. Turn to Genesis chapter 12, and I want to look at Abraham. I love Abraham. And I don't really have time to preach this out, but we're going to hit the highlights of it. My question for you today is this: how long are you willing to wait on God to see fulfilled what he has revealed? How long are you willing to wait? Because Abraham had a really big reveal. And God gave Abraham a vision so big he couldn't contain it. He couldn't even conceive it, actually. And this is where I want to read today, Genesis 12 and verse 1. I want to read these first three verses. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this is when God first spoke to him, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Then he says this, I will make you, singular, a great nation, which is many. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. How many know that's a powerful word? And in you, Abram, all the families, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is huge. Why? Because God is huge, and God always says huge things. If it's a little thing, it may not be a word from God, or it might be incomplete. God's big. God says big things. He says things that are impossible. That's why we have to get in his face. That's why we have to be in his presence. That's why we have to make time for him, because he will speak if we will listen. He said, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, leave all your relatives, leave your father's house, and go to a new land where I'm calling you. Can I tell you that Abram only obeyed half of those things? He didn't obey all of them, right? He said to leave the land where you were. He did that. Leave your father's house. He didn't do that. He took his father's house with him, including his father. And later his father got sick and delayed the whole journey for 5 years. He said, leave your relatives. He didn't do it. He took Lot with him because Lot was like the son they never had. And Lot caused them all kinds of problems. And go to the land. How many know Abram still got there? The good news is when you make mistakes, God will still get you there. It's a little bit of a harder process. I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, you got two choices, the hard way or the really hard way. There is no easy way. Amen. Just take the hard way. Don't take the really hard way. And he was telling him, leave your comfortability and go to a place that I'm going to show you. There's so much to preach there. And he says, I will make you, Abram, a great nation. And this is the reveal to him. And by the way, God had already previously spoken to him. And Galatians tells us that God actually spoke the entire plan of redemption from time past to time future to Abram in that moment. And this is the vision. Why did he show all that to Abram? Because Abram's going to be the seed where it's going to come through. And he said, I will bless you. He said, I'll make you famous. You're going to be a blessing to others. In fact, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. That's a big reveal. And by the way, Abraham already had stuff. Abraham was wealthy. He came from a very wealthy family. He was very wealthy. And he had stuff. It wasn't stuff that Abram needed. The reveal that God was giving wasn't about stuff, but Abram was missing something very important. He didn't have a child. And by the way, he was 75 when God gave him this word. So he wasn't in a place where what God was saying was really line up with what he was experiencing in his life at that point. How many know God doesn't always make sense in our natural thinking? But listen to me, that's what vision is for. That's what hearing God's voice is for. That's what reveal is for. Because a revealed prophetic insight, a revealed vision is there to counteract your current situation. When you receive a prophetic word, don't downplay that. Don't shut that off. Don't get sarcastic about that. That's why the Bible says, do not despise prophesying. Why? Because prophesying is there to counteract your current situation. To show you that where you are currently is not where God is leaving you. He's taking you somewhere. Prophetic insight from God. It's the thing that is designed to pull your faith to the place that God is taking you. So when you look around in a desert, like he said to Isaiah, and say, I'm going to make a pathway through a wilderness that you can't see because everything looks the same in every direction you look. Have you ever been there? And he said, not only that, but in the dry desert, I'm going to make springs of water come up out of nowhere. That's a word from God. I see something new. I see something coming out of nothing. That's the vision you have to hold on to, even if all you see around you is dry sand. But what do most of us do? Like Abram, we start to tell God what's happening instead of declaring what God is saying. Have you ever done that? I've actually done that. And afterwards I think, why am I trying to explain something to God who knows everything and I know nothing? Right? Have you ever explained something to God? God, you don't understand. Really? That's why I love God so much, because he's just so gracious and merciful with us. And even we get foolish and act like a child and get spiritual amnesia about what he said and disobey him and walk in a different direction, he still comes back to us and reminds us there's still a place of release for you out here if you'll get back on track. If you'll sell out, you keep going, it's not too late. So in Genesis 12, God gives Abraham a huge reveal, but he didn't leave him there. He revisited Abraham. He had spoken to him before. He showed him this reveal, and he revisits him again in Genesis 13. If you want to turn over to the next chapter in verse 15, he says this. He meets with Abram again, and he says this. Abram, all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Wow. That's why when we talk about blessing the nation of Israel and supporting Israel, it's not just because of a political environment, it's because of God's word. You see what I'm saying? God's word said this promise was made to Abram a long time ago. It said it's your descendants forever. It's their inheritance. Now remember, Abraham had no kids at this moment. So how can I have descendants and I'm barren, and I'm not getting any younger? God said, I'm not looking at your barrenness. I'm looking at my fruitfulness. And my fruitfulness will speak into your barrenness. That's a word for somebody. I feel like somebody's watching online right now, and God is saying, my fruitfulness is going to speak into your barrenness. God's going to speak right in the middle of situations that do not look right and do not make sense, and he'll speak to what it will become. You know why God does that? It's not just to torment you. He does it so that you don't get the glory he does. If it's something within the realm of my possibility, I can take some of the glory. But when it's impossible for me, he gets all the glory. That's why God does that. He says, Abraham, you're not getting it, so let me show you. So a couple of verses later, he says in verse 17, he says, arise and walk outside. Walk through the land, its width and its length, for I give it to you. He said, go outside and walk in every direction, north, south, east, west. Just go outside and take a lap. And everything you see is yours. What happens when God says to you, just walk in any direction you want and it's yours? You want the business? Walk in that direction. It's yours. I'm revealing it to you. You want your family? Call them out every day. They're yours. I'm giving it to you. Whew. That's what makes the God we serve different than any of the other religious mess in the world. So God is revealing things to Abram. He's revealing things to some of you, and it's very simple, but it's very powerful. God doesn't ever give you the full plan right up front. He just gives us parts of it, right? I said it earlier. He gives you pieces of it. Why? Because he wants you to walk by faith, not by sight. And if you have all the pieces, you can walk by sight. He wants you to walk by faith. Faith means you have to stay in relationship with him. If he shows it to me, I can leave him, quit talking to him, and just go for what I see. It's what a lot of people do, but God wants a relationship. Some of you, if God gave you the full plan up front, you wouldn't even talk to God anymore. You'd just run away with what he said. But God doesn't want you to do this without him with you. So he will bring it to you in pieces, like a puzzle. He will give you turn-by-turn instructions. He'll tell you to move here, and you're not going to see what he's doing next until you step in that direction. It's called walking by faith. You have to realize that God never gives you a vision for it not to come to pass. Right? The reveal comes so you know the vision will come to pass. You'll know the vision has a purpose for you, and you'll know God is with you wherever you go. In other words, there's more than what you've seen. You're not supposed to die here. You're not supposed to give up right here. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, I guess this is all God has for me. Quit complaining. As long as you're breathing, God's not finished yet. And when you stop breathing, you'll be in his presence forever and glory for that. But right now, on this earth, God's not finished yet. So he's spoken twice, more than twice, to Abraham. He's revealed the purpose and vision. Now go over to chapter 15. I've just given you the Cliff's Notes of this today. Genesis 15, verse 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I want you to listen to this. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield, your protection, and your exceedingly great reward. This is what God is speaking to you here right now. This is what God is saying to you. So I want you to say where the name Abram is, I want you to take the name Abram out. And when I read this verse, I'm going to pause and you say your name. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Do not be afraid. I am your protection. I am taking care of things. I am your reward. I'm going to bring this to pass. Did you feel what I just felt on that? I felt something on that. Some of you were just sitting there with your mouths closed, and I'm telling you to say it. Say it again. Everybody say it. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Your exceeding great reward. Fear of failure has been some of the bondage that so many people get tied into. Well, what if I lose this, and what if I lose that, and what if God doesn't come through, and what if I didn't hear God? God says he's the shield, he's the protection, he's the supplier of your need. You either believe his word or you don't. He's telling you, do not be afraid. How does it feel to know God is your bodyguard? What kind of a swag can you walk into a room with if God is your bodyguard? Come on. It's almost like if God be for you, who can be against you? Almost like that, huh? God is saying what he said to Abraham. He said, I'm going to be your protection and your reward will be great. But some of you get the Abraham spirit. And you quit looking at all God has done and all he has given you because you're blinded by the one thing you don't have. You'd think Abraham would be running and shouting over that word right there. But look at this. I'm going to shift translations because I love the way this reads in the New Living Translation. Genesis 15, and go to the next verse, verse 2, New Living Translation. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, don't we do that? It's like I can almost hear the tone. It's like a religious tone. Oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, I guess Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, is going to have to inherit my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. He wasn't shouting and running around saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God. No, he says, God, I don't have any kids. You're giving me no children. I'm going to have to give it to Eliezer. He's going to get everything because I don't have a kid to give it to. You didn't give me descendants. God, you didn't do what you said. You didn't heal my sickness. You didn't fulfill the promise. You didn't bring me out of poverty. So I'm just going to make what I see work. Counterfeit. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, no, I love that. No, I like God to say yes to me, but I love reading when God just says, here's my answer, no. No, your servant will not be your heir. God wasn't saying no to what he was going to do. He was saying no to Abraham's mindset, his perspective. He said, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. God said, in fact, let me give you a visual. Go on to verse 5. Then the Lord took Abram outside again, and he said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's what it says right there, if you can. Can you hear the sarcasm in God's voice? I love hearing the tone behind stuff in the Bible, right? Go ahead, look up. Now, all those stars, count those, if you can. Let me know how many there are. That's how many descendants you will have. Now, this verse actually is where everything switched up for Abram. Everything switches right here. God has revealed to him in pieces. He's taken him outside twice. He's spoken to him twice. He's put up with him not obeying sometimes. He's pushed him forward. And I'm so thankful when I read stories like this about Abraham, because it makes me know that there's hope for me, even with stuff that I've done, stopped, didn't do right, didn't work right, didn't act right, didn't think right, and God's still working with me. Woo! I thank God he's more patient than I am. He's doing that with you too. Everything switched up. God had to reveal to him three times before he did this. Look at this, verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord. Took 5 conversations and 2 walks, but he finally, I wish he would have said finally, but it's true. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous. Because of his faith. You know what righteous means? It means you're perfect and sinless before God. And how many know God can see everything? What made him righteous? His willingness to believe God. You think God isn't impressed when you choose to believe him in faith? When you choose to say, I will get past what I'm seeing and just believe you because of my relationship with you and believe your word? That makes no sense. You think that, listen, God's like, if you can get there, none of the other issues in your life are issues anymore. That's power. You want to be free? You want to be delivered? You want to be free from that habit, that sin issue? You want to be free from that? Believe God. Believe the Lord. Because if you can do that, if you can believe him, if you can hold on to his word, when nothing looks like it's going to happen that he said, and not give up, God himself will step in your situation, and none of those issues you can't get rid of are a problem anymore. They'll fall off. We just try harder, right? Strive more, try harder to do better, to make God happy. And God's like, just believe my word and watch what I can do. Some of you might think I'm up here blowing smoke, but I'm here today trying to strengthen your faith so you can see God do something in this season. Listen, if you do not believe God, you cancel out and nullify what he's trying to do for you. If you do not bring faith into the equation, you're just sitting and hoping. If you don't bring faith into the situation, you're just wanting God to do a magic trick for you. And God says, I'm not Houdini. I am the Lord God Almighty. I am God on high. But God never does anything without your participation. Not because you have such great abilities, but because God wants everything to happen in the context of relationship between you and him and between each other. That's why the devil is forever trying to separate, sever, stop, break up your relationship with him and with others. Get you offended, get you hurt, get you wounded, get you isolated, because then that's the only way he can delay, resist, stop the promises of God from being fulfilled. Write this down. A reveal from God must always be met with faith. And faith is simply believing what he said. That's all it is. A reveal from God must always be met with faith. And the reason why God continues to speak to you about something that hasn't happened yet is either because, one, it's not time yet, or two, you've met the vision he showed you with doubt instead of faith. It's one of those two things. If God's still speaking to you about a release that hasn't come yet, it's because A, you're in the process of time, or B, you've been doubting and you got stuck in the process. We tend to meet God with all the reasons why it can't happen. We tend to use our own spiritual weapons to shoot holes in the very plan God is trying to bring to us. You just have to believe it. God is looking around the entire earth to find one person that will have enough faith to believe him. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. And I see forever men of God, great men of God, intelligent, educated, seminary-trained men of God that have no faith. They have principles, and they use their principles to explain why faith doesn't work. But when the Son of Man returns to the earth, he's coming looking for faith. Will you believe God? Do you have the faith to believe God? Because those who come to him, go Hebrews 11:6, I'll read the whole thing. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you remember that phrase that God said to Abram? I'm your protection, and I will be your exceeding great reward. There's two things. Number one, you have to believe God is there. You have to believe he exists. Number two, you have to believe that he has something for you. That he is a rewarder of you if you will seek him. And anyone who wants to come to God, first, you have to believe that he exists. And second, that he responds. You have to believe that he's there, and you have to believe that he's going to respond. So we're not coming to God saying, God, fix everything, and then forgetting it. It's not that little thing you see on infomercials, set it and forget it. That's not how it works with God. You do it in partnership. I'm not coming to God for a religious experience. I'm not coming to God for a magic trick. I want to see God move in me. I want God to develop me. God, I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering, in the power of your resurrection. God, I want to know you everywhere in between. And when you believe God's word and you walk through whatever process it is and don't let go, God will reward you. He will do what he said. I got to get to my release state. My mission is to stay in faith. I know I'm preaching a long time, but I got to drive this into you. I just feel this today. My mission is to stay in faith, to believe God, to remind myself of his word. Some of you people thought you were crazy just because you chose to stand and believe God's word. That what he said will come to pass. Some of you are more sophisticated today. Maybe you don't need that much, but some of us can only make it with God. Some of us know the only solution will be what God can do. The rest of you can go play around and post on social media. I have something I got to keep focused on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of us don't have time for that because
It's too important that what God has revealed will come to pass. I'm at a place where my very life, my future is at stake if I don't see God move and hear his voice and let him work in me to will and to do his good pleasure until I become the output of what he desires so that I don't end up a gold-plated nickel. The release will always follow the reveal. The release will follow the reveal. If you write that down, put it in all capital letters. The release will follow the reveal. God did not give you the vision for it not to come to pass. It's a beautiful thing. In Genesis 12, God started talking to Abraham. Abraham was already 75 years old. Please put a pin in that. I don't care how old you are. The promises of God have no expiration date. Some of you all been ready to retire, but God sent me to tell you it's time to refire. Do you hear me? He's not done with you. There's too much in you. Do not back down. Do not stop. God will strengthen you for the work he's called you to do. So God started revealing his plan to Abram at 75 years old. But guess what? It's not until Genesis 21 that the release is initiated. That's like 25 years later in time frame. Look at Genesis 21:1. I'm going to get to the end of this. Just hang with me. He said this in Genesis 21:1. I'm still in the New Living Translation because I like this wording. He says, "The Lord kept his word." The Lord kept his word. The Lord kept his word. 25 years, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. God doesn't care how barren the situation is, he can do anything. This happened, don't miss this last word, at just the time God said it would. This happened at just the time God said it would. Every reveal has a timestamp for its release. Every time they reveal that a baby is going to happen, every time a company reveals a new product, every time God makes a prophetic promise, there is a release date connected to it. Every time God gives a vision, every time God shows you something, every time you pray or somebody prays for you, there is a release attached to what God is saying. Our job is to bring faith to it and wait patiently, steadfastly, focused, not on our situation, but on the God who controls the situation, not resisting the process of what God's trying to do in us. The problem is we talk about Abram being a mighty man of faith, the father of faith, the father of nations, but we didn't talk about in the process, even Abraham didn't wait on God. You see, there was a lot of years between that reveal and that release. And it's hard for us humans sometimes. He's 75 when he gets the vision. He's 100 when God releases the manifestation. And Abram did what a lot of us do when we get a reveal from God. We can't wait on the release, so we settle for a counterfeit. Abraham and his wife Sarah thought God forgot about them, so they said, "Let's take matters into our own hands. Let's try to make God's plan happen." Have you ever tried to make God's word happen? With her own ability, Sarah was so old and dusty, nothing was going to grow up in there, you know. But there's this young Egyptian maid named Hagar. Sarah says, "Okay, Abraham, how about we try to put this together? You go sleep with Hagar." Abraham's like, "If you say so, I just want to be a faithful husband." The Bible doesn't say that. That was my own word. Look at Genesis, if you want to, you don't have to turn there. Genesis 16, verse 15. Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And if you want to read into the New Testament where it patterns back what was really happening, The Bible says that God not only had to wait till Sarah's womb was dried up, which it already was barren, but he also had to wait till Abraham was also too old to reproduce himself before God did. He has to take away all human possibility. But Abram created a counterfeit 14 years before the release. And I know it's hard, and I know it's frustrating to wait on God sometimes because you don't know what time the release is coming. But if you go in and counterfeit this thing, you have no idea the magnitude of what you can create when you produce spiritual Frankenstein. Because today there's news media happening in the Middle East, in the nation of Israel, where there's all kinds of conflict and possibly ousting a prime minister and doing something between two people groups that one are the sons of Ishmael and Esau, and the others are the sons of Abraham. It's still at war today. Today, 5,000-ish years later, still happening. Don't settle for the counterfeit. Wait for the release. If God revealed it, he's going to release it. And now we're back to the verse we started with, and I'm closing. I promise. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you, he who revealed a good work in you, will release it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's continuing to complete. He's continuing to push forward. Come on, you can be confident that whatever we try to create or come up with will never be able to compare to what God wants to release. Too many of us, we've not patiently waited on God. We're trying to convince people that our imitation is real. Faking our way through life, creating our way, our own purpose, our own ideology that God never set. Pretending like we're happy, trying to be in legitimate everything that God called us to be. We love God, we're saved, but we won't be patient and wait on him and get in his word and get in his face and do what he's telling us to do. So we end up moving in a direction that God never said, thinking no one around you recognizes that it's not real. People see it. Gold-plated nickel. You see, this counterfeit was, this very thing on this chain was actually created to deceive people into believing that it was more valuable than it was. The crazy thing is, most of you wouldn't even know this was counterfeit because it's surrounded by this gold chain that's real. It's surrounded by the real thing. That's why so many people try to get around people who do know God and act like they're diligently seeking God too, to disguise their counterfeit as though it's something real and valuable. We end up, like 2 Timothy 3:5 says, with people having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. There are many of us who have not let God change us from the false to the real. But what God is saying to you today in this service, listen to me, I want to release the counterfeit from you so I can release the blessing into you. Let it go. Pick up the real thing. Put it down. Repent. Whatever you need to do, just keep moving forward. Don't stop. What God promised to you, he will do it. What God said, he will do it. What God revealed, he will do it. Come on. This real thing is tailor-made. It's the real is tailor-made for you. It doesn't even matter what it looks like. There's something tailor-made for you. And it will last and it won't fade and God will get the glory because your reveal will be attached to a release. You might not see it right now, but when he's revealed it to me, I can be confident of this very thing, that he will release it. Close your eyes with me. It's time to remind yourself of the word of God. I have to be patient even when I don't understand, even in the midst of trouble. The Father is here today. I feel the heart of the Father God. Father God, I feel him here. He's coming to reveal vision and purpose for our life. He's coming to remind you of things he's spoken that you haven't seen come to pass yet. And for some of you, it's been years Some of you let go of things. God says, it's still there. Pick it up. Pick it back up and keep believing. It didn't come the way you thought. It didn't come in the timing you thought. You might have had some losses along the way. But I'm talking about you today. The ones that are still here, God is speaking to you. Come on, you're going to have a beginning point and an end point on this earth. Make the middle part count. Let God come and release you today. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Right now, He's coming. He's coming in this place to remind you, you got to get a hold of it today. Just believe God. Believe God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Lynn, I don't even understand everything you say, but something's stirring in me, and I'm not even right with God. Maybe you don't feel like you're even right with God, like you don't even know if you're allowed to talk to God, if God could put up with you, or maybe you just feel disconnected. I don't know what it is. But if that's you, God wants you to come to Him today. I'm calling you out today to come to Him, because if you don't get into this thing, what's ahead for you is not good. But if you will get into it by just believing Him, God will begin to reset you from the inside out. And God will change you and transform you and position you in purpose. If you're watching online, if you're here in this room right now, I want to pray for you. If that's you, you say, I just need to get my life right with God today. Would you pray for me? I promise you I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If that's you and you want me to include you in that prayer, would you just lift your hand up right where you're sitting and put it right back down? Thank you over here. There's a couple of hands back here. Thank you right now. If you are here, God is calling you to Him. I'm going to ask a second question right where you're sitting, because I want you to hear God. How many are holding on to something, believing for something? Maybe you're picking something back up and believing it. But whatever, there's some things that you're holding on to, some pieces that God has revealed to you that have not been manifest yet. And today you say, I'm stepping up my belief system, my belief heart in this area like never before today. I'm committing to do that. If that's you, raise your hand and let me see it. I want to pray for you all over the place. I've got my hand up too. Come on, God is speaking things to us. Now I want everybody to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet with me. If you're watching online, stop what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing. Put it down. Just come to the screen where you can hear this, because I want you to respond to the word of the Lord right now. Wherever you are, I want you to respond to God's word today. There's release coming for you. It's the season of release. God spoke to me that it's a season of release. Whew, there's stirring of the waters today. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to do something. And for some of you, it'll be kind of a bold thing. But I promise you, like I said, we're not going to be. I just want to pray. I want you to come to the front. First of all, if you said, I just need to get some stuff right with God. I need to get myself right with God. You raised your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask my altar ministry team to come on down as well. And if you would come and just walk down here to the front and meet me right here. I'm coming down too, if that's you. Just come meet me right here. If that's you, you need to just get some stuff right with God. You need to get yourself, whatever it is, please come. And right now, if you raised your hand for the second question on either side, I want you to fill up the front of this auditorium, and you're believing God. And I believe there's a waterfall of faith. And if you raised your hand, there were a couple of you, you raised your hand, and maybe you felt, I don't want to walk down to the front. But everybody's coming now anyway, so just walk on down with them too. There's something about taking a step. There's something about saying, listen, I just got to get stuff right. I want to make sure that I am in right place with God. Everything's built on faith. Everything's built on what you believe today. Everything. Do not lose faith. Come on, do not lose faith. God has something ahead that hasn't even been opened, Pat and Dawn. Sister, God has something that is ahead. There's a door, an open door. That's where God said, I set before you an open door. He said that in the word. There's an open door before you of a whole new season in God and prophetic speaking and the purposes on your life. I see it happening. Come on, I see that over you. Ellis, I see that over you. Bart, I see that over you. God's already been doing this. He's been releasing things in your life. Come on, I see you. Amity, I see that in your life today. And I'm just calling out names. It doesn't matter if I call your name or not. I want you to get a hold of God right now. Get a hold of heaven right now. Something is about to be released in you. Something is about to be released from heaven. Do you understand what happens when heaven opens over you? Do you understand what power comes when heaven opens over you? When you believe God and heaven open, do you understand what we could see? Do you understand today the power that's here? So right now, right where you're standing, all across the front, and some of you still need to be coming down here. Just get out of your seat and come down if you're watching online. Standing here right now, lift both of your hands like we had the kids do earlier. Come on, we have to come before the Lord like a little child. The Bible said, just lift up your hands like you're reaching up for somebody to pick you up right now. And I want you to say, Lord, I give you my life, my dreams, my destiny, my family, everything is yours. I give you myself today, Jesus. Take me. Just tell him, take me just like I am. Work the process in my life so I can be right before you. Today, it's yours, God. Now say this, I believe you, Heavenly Father. Just tell him, I believe you, Heavenly Father. I believe you, Heavenly Father. Come on, I believe you, Heavenly Father. Oh, it's crazy the things God shows you. I believe you, Heavenly Father. Some of you are still believing for your kids, grandkids. There's somebody here believing for parents or an aunt and uncle. Listen, you're watching online. Listen, say, God, I believe you. Call out their name. I believe you for their soul. I believe you for their destiny. I believe you for their life. I believe you for their whatever it is that they have ahead. That devil, you cannot win in this. Devil, we believe the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Come on, just pray it to him right now. While you're praying, God is moving on you. I don't even have to touch you. Hands don't even have to be laid on you today in prayer. You just, God just intersecting you right now. God's pulling you up to himself. You're feeling the arms of Father God. Father God is in this room. You're feeling his arms pulling you to himself today. Pulling you to him today. Come on, let him pull you. Let him pull you. Let him pull you. Come on, Jesus.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
I believe.
I believe in you.
Come on, you're the God.
You're the God of miracles. Oh, we test our faith. And I believe in you. I believe in you.
Come on.
You're the God of miracles. Yes, you are.
I believe in you, God.
You're the God of miracles. Yes, you are.
Come on. God is resetting some of you into positions of leadership and influence. God is resetting your voice for this next season. Come on, Abraham, believe God. There's no expiration date on his promise. Just believe God. Lord, strengthen us in the process. Strengthen us in the period of time between the reveal and the release. Lord, let us know that your word is true. You haven't forsaken us today, oh God. And we believe in you today. All over this place, people are praying up here at the front right now. If you're out of your seats, just lift your hands up too. If you're watching online, just stop what you're doing and lift both hands up right now. Lord, I thank you today. Lord, at the end of this meeting, God, that you are coming to overtake your people with blessing. Lord, you're overtaking us with the blessings of God. Lord, you're overtaking us, God, with strength. You're overtaking us, God, with the things that you've set for us. You're overtaking us, oh God. Lord, show us what you're doing. Show us what you're saying in this season. Show us, God. Let us know you. Let us know you. Let us partner with you. Let us see the impossible, God. Do what you said you were going to do. Lord, I thank you, God. Holy Spirit, that you come to lead us and guide us. Now bless your people today, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You can give God some praise today if you believe him, what he's doing. Amen. We're just going to keep ministering up at the front. If you're here today, if you have sickness in your body, God is a healer. We want to pray for you. If you have a need in your life, we want to pray and believe God with you. If that's you, we want to pray with you. Amen. God bless you. We won't have a formal dismissal. We're going to just stay in this atmosphere. Do not leave until you touch heaven. Don't leave until you touch heaven today.